All right, everybody, welcome to Steadfast Baptist Church. If you would take your seats and turn to song number 196, we're going to sing I Will Sing the Wondrous Story. Again, that's song number 196, we're going to sing I Will Sing the Wondrous Story. I will sing the wondrous story of the Christ who died for me, how he left his home in glory for the cross of Calvary. Yes, I'll sing the wondrous story of the Christ who died for me. Sing it with the saints in glory, gathered by the crystal sea. I was lost, but Jesus found me, found the sheep that went astray. Through his loving arms around me, drew me back into his way. Yes, I'll sing the wondrous story of the Christ who died for me. Sing it with the saints in glory, gathered by the crystal sea. I was bruised, but Jesus healed me. Faint was I from may to fall. Sight was gone and fears possessed me, but he freed me from them all. Yes, I'll sing the wondrous story of the Christ who died for me. Sing it with the saints in glory, gathered by the crystal sea. Days of darkness still come o'er me, sorrow's path I often tread. But the Savior still is with me, by his hand I'm safely led. Yes, I'll sing the wondrous story of the Christ who died for me. Sing it with the saints in glory, gathered by the crystal sea. He will keep me till the river rolls its waters at my feet. Then he'll bear me safely over where the loved ones I shall meet. Yes, I'll sing the wondrous story of the Christ who died for me. Sing it with the saints in glory, gathered by the crystal sea. All right, let's open with a word of prayer. Father, thank you for this time you've given us to come here to gather together to sing praise his name. Thank you for helping everyone here to get here safely, Lord, and pray all of the people that are sick, Lord, that they would just recover from their sickness as quick, fast, and hurry, Lord, so they can come back here and serve you. And Lord, just we thank you for all the blessing you've given us. Thank you for all the souls that got saved this week out soul winning, Lord. And I pray you bless the service today. Let everything be done for your honor and glory. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, next song we're going to sing is song number 98, The Name of Jesus. Song number 98, The Name of Jesus.
The name of Jesus is so sweet, I love its music to repeat. It makes my joys flow full and clean. The precious name of Jesus, Jesus, so how sweet the name. Jesus, every day the same. Jesus, let all saints proclaim. It's worthy praise forever. I love the name of him whose heart knows all my griefs and bears a part, who bids all anxious fears depart. I love the name of Jesus. Jesus, oh, how sweet the name. Jesus, every day the same.
Jesus, let all saints proclaim his worthy praise forever. That name I fondly love to hear. It never fails my heart to cheer. His music dries the falling tear. Exalt the name of Jesus. Jesus, oh, how sweet the name. Jesus, every day the same. Jesus, let all saints proclaim its worthy praise forever. No word of man can ever tell how sweet the name I love so well. Oh, let its praises ever swell. Oh, praise the name of Jesus. Jesus, oh, how sweet the name. Jesus, every day the same. Jesus, let all saints proclaim its worthy praise forever.
Good morning. Thank you so much for coming to Steadfast Baptist Church. If you didn't get a bulletin already, you can slip up your hand real quick and an usher will come by, get a bulletin to you. On the front, we have our Bible memory passage, Exodus 20. We're on week 6. And then on the inside, we have our service and soul winning times, as well as our church stats, and then a list of our expecting ladies. Please be in prayer for all of them. Also, for our prayer list, if you have any prayer requests throughout the week, you can try to email those in to email steadfastbaptistkjv@gmail.com. Just put prayer list or prayer request in the title. That way, we are aware of that. Also, we have our Texas Oklahoma Easter Memorial Weekend, April 1st through the 4th, and we have a sign up sheet on this cabinet. And it's basically for those that are willing to potentially lead a time. And it's okay if there's overlapping names if people fill out as many times as they want. But the goal is to try and have as many soul-winning times throughout Thursday to Sunday. And really all in Texas and all in Oklahoma. But specifically here, we want to have times. And the sheet basically has two blocks. It has one block that's just basically your name, and then the other blocks are the comments. If you do want to help sign up, basically in the comments you need to place where you're doing the soul winning. So if you're either willing to help participate at a time that's meeting at the church, you could just put at the church. Or if it's another area, just make sure you're putting another area. For people that live outside of the Dallas-Fort Worth area, you know, they just can email me or give me that information directly. As far as, you know, if it's another city or another town or anything like that. And basically what the goal is that I'll have a video and I'll put it on a website and our events page and everything like that and point people to it and say, hey, here's different times in different areas throughout Texas and Oklahoma. Here's the soul winning leader's name. Here's where they're meeting. Here's their phone number, things like that. And then we'll just try to encourage other people to join us to go soul winning during this time. There's definitely people that live in other areas that are interested in going soul winning, doing those things. So it's great to have events like this and to try and encourage other people to go soul winning. I know in Oklahoma, I believe they're going to have times in Oklahoma City and Tulsa pretty much the whole time. I know their brother Scott Dunn was going to do a time over in kind of the northeast portion of Texas. I can't remember the name of the city. I thought he was going to do Texarkana, but I'll look it up again. Brother Nick Canary was going to do some times in Austin area. And so hopefully, and in Houston, obviously, we'll have times and everything like that. And so I'm really excited about this event. If you are willing to lead a time, you need to fill that out today, though, because basically Monday and Tuesday, we're going to try and take all the information we have, organize it, and then present it. So if you would like to help lead, if you're just going to show up, you know, you're good to go. We'll get you that information, and you can have that. And we're basically going to have soul winning Thursday evening, and then Friday morning, afternoon, evening, Saturday morning, afternoon, evening, and then we're going to have our Easter Sunday services. We have some really nice new invitations that are specific to our Easter services. And we ordered a lot of these things, so please don't feel shy about handing these out, grabbing a huge stack. We tried to order 5,000 of these, and so, I mean, you should have plenty to go out there, and we want to have lots whenever we have our Memorial Weekend But basically, it just has our Easter service advertised. It also has a QR code on the back, and it's to our most recent documentary from the Sodomite Deception. It actually goes to the website, and then from there, they can click on the video link and watch that film. Also, we have some stickers that we made that are the exact same QR code. And so if you want one, you can take one or two. We only ordered about 200 of these, but basically the goal was you could stick it on, you know, maybe a Bible or stick it on something that you use on a regular basis. And then just you can say, hey, check this out. We also put it on some of our pretty much all the Psychopath Reprobate DVDs. If you see a sticker on there, that's what that's for. And so hopefully, you know, this will just help spread the word. I have a lot of I think the QR code thing's pretty cool, and I think we can use that to our advantage, and we'll keep coming up with new ideas to share and spread our information. There's also another sign-up sheet that's on the cabinet, and it's about volunteering. There was an apartment complex that wanted us to come and host an Easter egg hunt for their complex and basically preach them the gospel. And so I get calls from apartments all the time, and I was just like, oh, okay, it's one of those. But then she's like, hey, I got your card on the door, and I was like, yeah. And she's like, do y'all do outreach? And I was like, yep. And she's like, do y'all want to do it again in our apartment complex? And I was like, sure. And so she's wanting to advertise to all of her tenants. I think they have about 114 residents or something like that in their apartments. And so basically, we're just going to go, we'll maybe sing a couple kids' songs, preach them like a short 20-minute gospel presentation, and then we'll have some tables set up with just church information, we'll do the Easter egg hunt, and then afterwards, we'll basically just be handing out information and trying to just do personal soul winning to the families there. If you'd like to help participate, volunteer. And one other thing is, you're welcome to bring your children to this, don't feel like you can't, but the Easter egg is for their children. It's not for our children. So just keep that in mind, that it's not for us to go and party and have a good time. It's for us to minister and to love and serve them. And so, you know, the Easter egg hunt will be for their kids. But you can do it on your own whenever you want. And we've ordered the material, but we're going to see if we can get a few people to help volunteer putting some of these things together. We printed out a bunch of Bible verses that we just want to cut up and put a Bible verse with a piece of candy in each every single egg. I think we have about 1,000 of them. And so that's just another opportunity. If you'd like to participate, it's going to be March 27th. So Easter is April 4th. And March 27th is not the Saturday right before Easter, but it's basically the weekend before the Easter weekend, okay? So if you want to keep that on your radar. Also, other upcoming events, May 8th, we have the Ladies' Tea. May 20th through the 22nd, we have our men's conference. And then on the back, we have some notes there for you. That's pretty much all I had for announcements this morning. Let's go ahead and go to our third song, Psalm 150, in our handouts. Brother Jesse is going to lead for us Psalm 150.
Praise ye the Lord, praise God in His sanctuary, praise Him in all firmament of His power, praise Him for His mighty acts, praise Him according to His excellent greatness, praise Him with all sound of the trumpet, praise Him with all psaltery and harp, praise Him with the timbrel and dance, praise Him with stringed instruments and organs, praise Him upon all loud cymbals, praise Him upon the high sounding cymbals, let everything that hath breath praise the Father, praise God the Son, praise God the Holy Ghost, praise God in three words. All right, and while the offer plane is being passed around, please turn if you in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter number 12. 1 Corinthians chapter number 12. In 1 Corinthians chapter number 12, the Bible reads, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Ye know that ye were Gentiles, carried away unto these dumb idols, even as ye were led. Wherefore, I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord, but by the Holy Ghost. Now, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit, and there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor. And our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it, or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now, ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. And God set some in the church. First, apostles, secondarily, prophets, thirdly, teachers, after that, miracles, then, gifts of healing, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles? Have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. Let's pray. Father, we thank this time given to hear the teaching of God's word, and pray you bless Pastor Shelley right now, filled with the Holy Ghost, so he can preach and teach the word of God effectively, with clarity, with boldness, and so we can all be edified in the faith, Lord. And we thank you for giving us this church, Lord, and thank you for sending your son to die for our sins, and we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Look at verse number 27. Sorry about that. You really need to pay attention, though, okay? Verse 27. Now you're the body of Christ, and members in particular. And God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, governments, diversity of tongues. Are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles? Have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 12 is a very unique chapter in that it's very specific in doling out the distinctions within a church and talking about the church as a whole body and how every single person that's saved and part of the local church is actually a member of that body. And the Bible's also emphasizing here that not every body part, not every member does the same function. It brings up very specific parts like the eye or the hand, or, you know, we have different functions for every single one of our body parts, yet we need every single one of them. You know, it's not like I want to trade my hands for more eyes today or trade my eyes for more hands today. You know, that would be something that wouldn't work very well. And so we need all the different pieces. We need all the different functions. And I think this is a question that a lot of people think about or they have in mind, and they really struggle with exactly what to do with this question. And so what I want to do is I want to preach a very practical sermon on how to answer this question. But this is the question: how do I get involved in church? How do I get involved in church? And I even specifically put notes on this back in case you want to, but I'm going to give you a lot of information this morning pretty quickly. And so if you need to, you might take a few notes here this morning, but also use the board to kind of help us. But when it talks about here, you know, having all these body parts, these members, people having different giftings, you know, there's not really much benefit in having these giftings if you're not using them, if you're not putting them to work. And so it's important to realize how you as a person can get involved in church and what's the best way to get involved. Now, I'm going to give you a couple of guiding principles, and this doesn't only apply to church. I believe this applies to every area of your life, but just how do you get involved in any case? How do you end up helping people? How, if you want to be used by someone or something for any reason, what do you need to do? Well, go over to Proverbs chapter 29. Go to Proverbs 29. I'm going to give you four quick points of how you can actually get involved. The first step, if you want to be used or get involved in any scenario, is to plan. Now, I had you turn to Proverbs chapter number 29, and the Bible's going to give us some good wisdom here. Proverbs chapter 29, look at verse number 18. The Bible says, "Where there is no vision, the people perish, but he that keepeth the law, happy is he." Now, the Bible uses the word here, vision, and having a vision is really going to be the first step in any way of getting involved. If you want to get involved in anything, if you want to do anything, really you kind of have to visualize that or think about it or make a plan for the future. You want to work for a particular company, you have to actually think about that many cases. You know, you want to do anything, you want to live somewhere, you want to go somewhere, you want to do something. It starts with a planning stage, and it's no different with church. You want to be used in church, you want to get involved in church, it starts with a planning phase of thinking about, okay, what can I do, what are my functions, what capabilities do I have, you know, where am I at, basically. You know, if I said, hey, I want to be a fireman tomorrow, can I just walk up to the fire department and say, like, put me in, coach? Or do I have to look at what kind of requirements they have to become a fireman? And then I have to kind of evaluate myself and see, you know, where I'm at. You know, do I meet the requirements, or am I lacking in their requirements? You know, can I just walk up to Jerry Jones and say, hey, I'm the best quarterback, put me in, coach? He's like, he just paid Dak Prescott $160 million. I don't think he's about to put me in. Okay, but this is the same mentality that some people have in every area of their life. They walk up and just expect to be plugged in, just to go ahead and be put into some kind of position, and they've had no planning. They're like, when did you come up with that idea? 5 minutes ago. It's like, whoa, okay, well, have you actually considered what it takes to do this job, or what it takes to be involved, or why you even want to do this? So in any case, if you want to be used, or you want to help, or you want to get involved in some area of your life, it first takes some planning to think about, okay, what is it that I really want to do? What does it take to get there? Now, after you've formulated a plan, go if you would to Luke chapter number 12, go to Luke, and I'm just going to kind of skip around and show you some verses that give you these points. But if you really want to be used, not only do you have to plan, number two, you have to then prepare. And like I said, I'm just going to go through these points really quickly, and then we're going to get into some application. But number one, you got to plan, and then once you realize, okay, I want to do this, but I'm not quite there yet. You know, I'm missing some prerequisites, or I'm missing some education, or I'm missing some physical endurance, or I'm missing some kind of knowledge or experience or wisdom or whatever it is, then you have to start preparing yourself in order to accomplish this task or to be used or to help in a particular way. You know, whenever I was looking for jobs and I was considering making a career change, I did not only look at what it would take to get a job right away, but I also looked at what it would take to get that same job 5 years from now, or where, what the career path looked like, and how many things that I had to accomplish and all the things that I'd have to do in order to get to that position. And so when it comes to your workplace, it comes to your personal life, it comes to your personal finances, it comes to raising your children, it comes to their education, all these things take planning and they take preparation. They take a lot of effort and diligence. Look at Luke chapter 12, verse 40, the Bible says, "Be therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when ye think not. Then Peter said unto him, Lord, speakest thou this parable unto us, or even to all? And the Lord said, Who then is that faithful and wise steward, whom his Lord shall make ruler over his household, to give them their portion of meat in due season? Blessed is that servant, whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Of a truth I say unto you, that he will make him ruler over all that he hath. But and if that servant say in his heart, My Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to beat the men servants and maidens, and to eat and drink and to be drunken, the Lord of that servant will come in a day when he looketh not for him, and at an hour when he is not aware, and will cut him in sunder, and will port him his portion with the unbelievers. And that servant which knew his Lord's will," notice this, "and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes." So this guy is someone, he actually knows the Lord's will. So it's arguably, he went through the planning phase. He knows what he needs to do. It's not that he's not aware of his strategy. It's not that he's not aware of what, you know, should be happening. The problem is he didn't prepare himself. He didn't get himself ready. He decided to just slack off and be lazy and just do whatever he wants rather than preparing for the future. And, you know, people that are going to be greatly used often have to sacrifice their will, have to sacrifice what they're doing in order to eventually get to the point where they're going to be greatly used. You want to be greatly used, it often takes someone that greatly sacrifices themselves and prepares themselves and gets ready for that task. You know, jobs in the job market that require a lot of skill, people don't just automatically get those jobs or accidentally stumble in those jobs. No, those people, they spend a lot of time studying, doing the work, thinking about it, asking other people, getting mentored, and doing the work for a long period of time and making all this effort, and then eventually they get into that type of a position. They get into that type of a role, and so it's no different in the church. You want to be greatly used by the church? Well, let me ask this question. How are you preparing yourself? What are you doing to prepare yourself? And, you know, another aspect of preparation could be that you need to ask permission even. You know, maybe you make a great plan, and before you invest a whole bunch of time preparing, you may even go to the person that is going to basically hire you, use you, or get you involved, and say, here's my plan, here's what I'm going to do to prepare, what do you think? Does this make sense? Is this going to be adequate? And then they can basically give you some kind of a judgment, because you wouldn't want to do a bunch of preparation that's not even legitimate, that's not even going to work. I remember thinking about making a career change at one point in my life, and I was working in the banking industry, and I had a management degree, and I was thinking about going back to school and either becoming an accountant or going into computer programming. And I was kind of evaluating how much more schooling I'd have to get, how much more education. And when I was looking into the accounting degree, I was going to have to take more undergraduate courses before I could start my master's degree. And that was really unappealing to me. And when I looked, I could go straight into the master's program and get an MBA in finance and economics. And when I looked in the computer science industry, they were going to make me require to get more undergraduate work as well. And so I just decided to just go straight into the master's program and do finance and economics, which I didn't like. But I don't know if that was really not the best decision. I probably should have just gone ahead and bit the bullet and done more undergraduate work if I wanted to do that. However, I talked to somebody that I said, hey, I'm thinking about making a career change. Here's some of my options. He was in the software industry, so I was just saying, what do you think? You know, is the software industry a realistic, you know, venture for me? How much schooling did I need? And he says, well, if you want to go into the software industry, he says, don't waste money going to school. Because he said, they won't teach you anything that we're going to use. He's like, they're all using archaic technologies and whatever. He says, we'll hire you if you really want to do it. It'll take a year, and why don't you study these books? So then I just studied other books and did my own self-education for a year and prepared myself. And it wouldn't have been as beneficial if I had just gone to the university and wasted all this money, effort, and energy preparing myself in a way that I wasn't going to be as prepared by doing the education he wanted me to do. Okay, so of course, permission may be something that's realistic. You know, if you come to me and you say, hey, I want to be serving in the church, I want to do something in the local church, my plan is to memorize the entire New Living Version, the New Living Translation. Like, that's not going to be very beneficial for you. You know, that's not proper education, right? Well, you know, I'm going to go work in this ministry of Joel Osteen. Never heard of him? You know, to prepare myself. See, obviously there could be bad ways to prepare yourself, so asking permission at times can be appropriate. You know, in your workplace, if you want a promotion, sometimes you might ask your manager or supervisors and say, hey, what would be the best course of action? What's the best pathway to get to this particular position? And that then can secure your preparation. Go to Proverbs 24. Go to Proverbs chapter 24. Proverbs chapter number 24. And let me tell you this, this sermon is not a sermon that you can necessarily just apply in 5 minutes or right after. It's something that takes a lot of work. This is a long-term strategy that I'm employing today and I'm trying to teach you. But you'd be surprised how many people, they don't make any plans and they never prepare themselves for anything their whole life. They just basically live by the seat of their pants. They don't even know. If you said, hey, what do you want to accomplish in 1 year? They're like, survive? I don't know. Not have to wear a mask again, you know, like they don't really have any vision. They don't have any goals. They don't know where they want to live. They don't know what they want to do in their career. They don't know what they want to do in church. They don't want to know if they want to have a family. They don't know what they want to do with their children. I mean, they literally just go around just aimlessly. Basically what dictates their life is whatever's on Facebook or something that day or whatever they see, you know, in the media or, you know. You can live a life apart from the world today. You can have your own plans and your own vision and not care what everybody else is doing, rather than just following their vision and their goal and whatever they want. Look at Proverbs 24, verse 27. Prepare thy work without, and make it fit for thyself in the field, and afterwards build thine house. So notice the Bible's telling you here to prepare something. You know, and a good advice is this. You know, don't buy a house before you have a job. Look, it sounds like really common sense, but some people don't understand this. Don't sign, you know, a huge lease on some property before you even know what you're going to be doing or where you're going. You know, some people, they just have no planning in their lives, and they'll just move somewhere, and they'll just make really permanent decisions. But look, work is going to be one of the most driving factors as far as where you live, what you're doing, because if you can't work, you can't eat. And if you can't eat, you can't live, okay? And so it's really important to make sure you're establishing yourself in the right way, you're preparing yourself in the right way, and making sure, hey, my work has been secured. I know what I'm going to be doing. Now I can go ahead and establish myself in other ways. Look at Proverbs 30, verse 25. Proverbs 30, look at verse 25. The ants are not a people not strong, or a people not strong. Yet they prepare their meat in the summer. So notice ants are given a really positive mention here. Answers said, you know, they by themselves are not like really strong, you know. It's not like an ant is something that you're afraid is going to pick you up and carry you off, okay. They might carry off your lunch, but they're not going to carry you off. But at the same time, they're very diligent. They just work. And they don't work and think like, do I have to work right now? No. But they actually work ahead. They plan ahead. They're preparing for themselves in the future. They're making preparations. Okay, go to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. So point one, plan. Point two, prepare. But then when that day of fruition finally comes, number three, you have to perform. You know, you can have all the great planning. You can have all the great preparations. But eventually, you actually have to do it too. Eventually, you actually have to accomplish the work. You have to do something. You know, it's one thing to make great plans and have all these great ideas and have everything prepared, but then if you don't really do it, Well, I have a plan to go out soul winning today, and I've prepared myself. I have every verse memorized. But I went and took a nap. You know, what benefit is there to that? You know, you actually have to do the plans that you actually put in place. James chapter 1, look at verse 23. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass, for he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Hey, you really want to be blessed? You got to do something. The planning and the preparing is not the blessing. That is just what gets you set up for the blessing. The blessing comes from the actual doing. The blessing comes from the actual performing. The blessing comes from actually not just hearing and thinking about it, but actually exercising it. You know, going to a soul-winning church and hearing about how great soul-winning is does not earn you rewards in heaven. Because you know what? There are people, they go to a soul-winning church and they hear about how great it is and they know how great it is and they don't go soul-winning. They don't get rewards. And then there's some people that go to a church where they don't hear about how great soul-winning is and they don't have a great soul-winning program and they themselves just go out soul-winning anyways. And guess what? They're getting greatly rewarded. Well, you know, if I was going to a great soul-winning church, then I would, you know, do it. It's like, look, you can just do it whenever you want. And, you know, the person that's going to be blessed is the person that's doing it, not the person that's so smart. You know, going to a church where they educate you and teach you things and you learn good doctrine, that's a blessing because you have that information. But if you really want that blessing to come to fruition to yourself, you have to do it. You actually have to dress godly. You actually have to read the Bible. You have to show up at church. You have to go out and preach the gospel. You have to raise your kids correctly. You know, just hearing about it from the pulpit is not going to fix your problems. You have to do it. Don't be a forgetful hearer. Actually perform. And you know, even if you had great plans and preparations, you need to actually perform the things that you plan to do. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Here's my last quick point. And look, this is just how you get involved. You want to get involved? Plan. You want to get involved? Prepare. You want to get involved? Do it. Perform. And then number four is purge. Purge. Hey, you want to get involved? Purge. Okay? Now, there's a couple different ways that we could look at this, but look at 2 Timothy chapter 2 and look at verse 21. The Bible says, if a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Hey, if you really, really want to get used, you got to purge yourself, okay? And there's two ways I want to look at this. First way is this. The more you free up all the junk in your life, the more you get rid of all the junk in your life, the more time, effort, and energy you can invest in the things that you really want to accomplish. You know, if you're just, well, I just have to play video games for 6 hours a day. That's going to cramp on your work. That's going to cramp on your marriage. That's going to cramp on your children. That's going to cramp on church. That's going to cramp on God. Hey, you might need to purge yourself from that activity. You know, bad friends, bad relationships, sinful habits, these type of things. The more you can purge yourself, the more you can be prepared for every good work. And look, you could not purge yourself and still do some good works. You know, some people get this idea that, well, if I'm sinful, I can't do anything. Well, you know, sinful people can do lots of stuff. Hey, the woman at the well was a very sinful woman, and she got a lot of people saved one day. You know, and there, some people say, I feel too sinful to go soul winning. Unless you're a reprobate, go soul winning, okay? I mean, the only reason he shouldn't is because he can't get anybody saved. Sorry, Judas isn't the best evangelist, all right? Look, you can always preach the gospel because, you know what? Even if you're chief of sinners, hey, you can still go out and preach the gospel. You can still get people saved. But you know what? You want to be greatly used. You want to use in other areas of your life. It comes through purging. It comes from saying no to certain things, cutting certain things out of your life. Go to John chapter 15. Go to John chapter number 15. And Jesus Christ will also try his best to purge us. And if you're bringing forth fruit, if you're showing yourself to be someone that can actually do something for God, he'll often try to purge you of other things in your life so that you can even bring forth more fruit. Look what it says in John 15, verse 2. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. Every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. So notice the Bible says that Jesus Christ is going to try and purge the fruit-bearing branches so that it'll bring forth more fruit. Now, what is pruning? Well, pruning, when it comes to a tree, you can have all kinds of different branches or twigs or different little sprouts coming off of this tree. And every single one of those branches requires water, nutrients, sunlight, energy for this tree. And if the tree is exercising all this effort, energy, and resource to these branches that are not bringing forth any fruit, it's a waste. And so what arborists do, or what a gardener would do, is he goes through his garden, he looks at the tree, and he finds a branch that's worthless, and he just cuts it off. Well, it hurt, you know. Yeah, it's just what happens. And, you know, he just trims it off, and then more water, more nutrients, more energy can go to the branch that's bringing fruit on it, that has the little blossoms on it, or has, you know, the beginning of fruit. Because if you don't prune or trim a tree, sometimes fruit that started to develop will end up not getting sufficient enough water or nutrients, and then they end up, you know, just dying, withering away, not producing that type of fruit. So they try to prune them to bring forth more fruit and to perfect the fruit that they have. So if God looks at your life and he looks at certain areas of your life and says, you know what, I'm not getting any fruit in this area of his life, I'm going to try and get rid of that in his life. I'm going to try and purge that in his life, and I'm going to try and clear it out. You know, sometimes we might plan and prepare to do something in our lives, but it's not a fruitful branch. And sometimes you need to just throw those plans away. You know, the Bible talks about this, denying yourself, taking up your cross. You know, the Bible talks about losing your life. A lot of these things are, you know, well, I just want to be a professional sports athlete, or, you know, I just want to be the next movie star, or I just want to be, you know, these plans are bad plans. I just want to be the next Bill Gates. Bad branch, okay? Trim that one, okay? There's certain ideas, there's certain visions, there's certain goals that we may have that don't fit with the Bible's narrative, and we need to be willing to purge those. And in any area of your life, in any way, if you want to get involved in something, but it's just not the right path for you, you need to be willing to purge it. You know, if you come up to me and say, Pastor Shelley, I really want to lead the songs, but you're tone deaf, that's the wrong tree for you. Okay? There's going to be certain areas of your life that you just, you know what? I really see you going down a different path here, buddy. You know, I really feel like you have a different vision. You know, just like the hand. What if the hand told the eye, I'm ready to be the eye today? You know, it's not going to work. You're going to look just as foolish as the tone deaf guy getting up and leading the music. And look, if you're tone deaf, don't get mad about being tone deaf. Don't try to force your way into being the song leader. Because it's just not worth it. It's just like an eye trying to be a hand. That's not going to work, you know. I can't pick anything up. Try opening the door with your eye. But I just really want to, you know. It's foolish. It's silly. And so the reality is sometimes you have to purge yourself of certain paths because it just doesn't make sense. It's just not applicable. It doesn't fit. It's just not the right way to go about it. Go if you would to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Go to 2 Thessalonians chapter number 3. So what should you do? Plan, prepare, perform, purge, okay? And, you know, one advice that one of my bosses gave me, and I know I bring up software development a lot, but it's easy for me to think of, okay? But in software development, you always have to, like, solve problems and create applications. And one of my bosses said this. He said, if you're not willing to completely trash the application that you've built, you'll never be a good developer. Because sometimes you'll create an application, you'll spend all this time, effort, and energy building this application, but it's just flawed, or it's just there's something wrong with it, and really the only way to fix it is just to completely just get rid of it and just start over. And honestly, that was great advice, because any area of your life, you should always be willing to start over if necessary. In any area of your life, you know, and sometimes people, I almost fear that they won't get saved because of this, or they won't be used by God by this. You know, you knock on someone's door, and they've been the Sunday school teacher for 20 years in their church, but they're not saved. And the reality of them not being saved is too horrifying for them to end up getting saved. No, I was already saved, or no, I don't need to pray, or no, I already got it. Why? Because they're too afraid of saying that they were wrong for so long. Or maybe they do get saved, but then they're too afraid to say, you know what, I need to go to a different church.
I've been learning wrong doctrine. I've been in the wrong ministry, in the wrong place, doing the wrong thing. And let me tell you this, there's never a bad time to get right with God. There's never a bad time to get on the right path. There's never a bad time to start over, okay? Sometimes you just need to start over and get on the right path. Going down the wrong path more is never going to be the right decision. Even if you're like, well, I have to start at the very bottom of the right path. Well, that's better than continuing down the wrong path anymore, than going down and doing something wrong. Now, if you want to get involved in church, because that was the title of the sermon, right? I'm going to get real practical with this, okay? Plan, prepare, perform, purge. But here's the thing. Before you can help anyone else, okay, before you get involved and do anything for anybody else, here's the reality. You need to first help yourself, okay? And this would sound really self-explanatory, but they tell you every time you get on an airplane. Put the mask on yourself first and then assist others around you, okay? And when it comes to church, here's a really, really important point for everyone to get. Please put on the mask first before you start helping other people, okay? And I'm going to get real specific on this, but number one, get saved. Hey, if you're not saved, you're not going to be helping anybody else in the Christian world, okay? Step one, you have to get yourself saved. And that's like the picture of putting the mask on, right? You're getting saved first, okay? And before you get saved, you can't do anything for Christ. You're not serving him. You're not, you know, inside of his will. You're not accomplishing anything, okay? Number two, you need to get baptized. Say, I want to get involved in church. Have you been baptized? No. Okay, step one, get baptized, right? Here's number two, or three, read your Bible. You want to get, like, people don't read the Bible and then they want to get used by the church. And I'm thinking, like, you need to start helping yourself, buddy. Do you even know, can you spell Bible? You know, can you even tell me the books in the Bible? I mean, if I said, where is this book? Would you be able to find it even? But you want to help other people already? Here's another one, pray. Look, some people, they're so excited. I can't wait to get involved in church. Well, let me tell you how you can be really involved in church, okay? You can get saved, get baptized, start read your Bible and pray. Like, oh, I don't want to do that. Well, then you're not going to get involved. You're not going to really be used that greatly. Okay, we're talking about the very, very basic, essential steps. How about this? Go to church 3 times a week. You know, it's funny to me. People want to come and ask me how they can get involved in church, and I'm thinking, like, how about just show up? I mean, you want to know how the best way you can get involved in church? Come every time the doors are open. I mean, why not? I mean, it's like, what would be easier? I mean, I'm saying, like, ways to get involved in church, come. Physically be present, right? If you really want to get involved in church, show up. And you say, why would I show up? Well, you know what? When you show up, you encourage other people to show up. It's funny, whenever I don't come, lots of people don't want to come. When they find out about someone else not coming, they don't want to come. They don't want to show up. When their spouse isn't coming, they don't want to come. You know, when their friend's not coming, they don't want to come, right? I mean, look, when you come to church, you encourage other people to come to church. Don't undervalue that point. And look, I love seeing all of you guys. It gets me excited. If all of you called me and said, we're not coming to church, if every single person called me, that would be discouraging. It'd be hard for me to want to show up. I still would. And I'd preach a scathing sermon that I'd email all of you. But you know what? At the end of the day, it's one of the most important ways to get involved in church is just literally be here. Be present. You know, get involved by just showing up. And look, if you can't even show up at church, how are you going to expect to help other people, right? Here's another one. Go soul winning. And look, to go soul winning, you literally have to show up again. You don't even have to be a talker. Be a silent partner, but just show up. Get involved in the soul winning. Look, and these seem really basic, but I tell you, there are people, they're coming to church rarely. They're not going soul winning. They haven't even read the Bible cover to cover one time. And they're coming up to me asking how they can get more involved in church. And I'm thinking like, here's a bulletin. It's got service times on it. Here's a Bible memory verse. I mean, I'm just thinking, like, you know, is there any events? Yeah, it's called Sunday morning, Sunday evening, and Wednesday night Bible study. You know, have you seen the soul winning times listed? You know, it's like, Why would I want to emphasize some kind of event above those events? Those are the most important events, right? I mean, going to church, going to the soul winning time, these are the most important events. You're not going to be used greater than going to those. Those are the most basic. Those are the most simple. You know, get to the foundation. Get to the fundamentals. Go back to those. That's how you can get really involved in church. Go through to 2 Thessalonians and look at chapter number 3, verse number 6. Here's another one. Provide for yourself. Verse 6, now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly and not after the tradition which you received of us. For yourselves know how you ought to follow us, for we behave not ourselves disorderly among you. Neither do we eat any man's bread for naught, but wrought with labor and travail night and day, that we might not be chargeable to any of you, not because we have not power, but to make ourselves an ensample unto you to follow us. For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. The Bible makes it clear, if you can't even provide for yourself, you're not even welcome to come to church. It's crazy how many people think that they can just literally not work in any way and expect to come here and I'm going to provide for them. Or have the gall to say, I can't wait to come help you guys. I'm thinking like, help me? You're coming here, you don't even have food. You don't even have a place to stay. You know, this is not a homeless shelter. I don't know where people get this idea that this is a place for you to just show up and, yeah, you can just sleep on the front row, you know? It's like, look, how are you going to help other people when you need daily food for yourself? Step one, get a job. Start providing for yourself. Look, it's silly to think that you can provide for other people or help other people when you yourself can't even help yourself. And look, this is not a homeless shelter. This is not a socialist utopia here. We don't just redistribute everyone's wealth to the lowest common denominator. We're not trying to figure out how to be a communist and a Marxist here today. You know what? You not working are a drain on society. If you're not working, you're everything that's wrong with America today. You know what's wrong with America? Apathy today, laziness today. People are so lazy and derelict today, they don't want to work. And you know what? Because they don't want to even work, of course they don't want to read a Bible. Of course they don't want to open the Word of God. Of course they don't want to be righteous in any way. And look, you're such a drain on society that God compares you to an unbeliever. It's sick. And people show up and they're like, oh, you know, I just want to get used by the church. I can't wait to be here. And I'm thinking like, okay, well, you know, but do you have $5 for a meal? It's like, no. But I guarantee if you go work, you can make your own money and then you can eat. That's God's program. God is not a socialist. Sorry if you don't like that. I like that. I don't have a problem with that doctrine. Other people have a problem with this doctrine. Go, if you would, to 1 Corinthians chapter number 7. 1 Corinthians chapter number 7. Here's another one. Groom yourself. You think I'm joking. It's like people won't even groom themselves, and then they're going to ask me how they can get involved. Take a shower. Step one. Take a shower. Groom yourself. Take care of yourself. You know, whenever you don't have proper clothing or you don't have proper food, you're an assistance of others. Other people have to take care of you. This is what we call children. My children can't properly clothe themselves and they can't properly feed themselves, so we have to put their diaper on and we have to feed them and clothe them and spank them and tell them no and give them guidelines. And you know what? That is not the person that's going to help people. The person that's going to help people is an adult today, and adults get jobs and adults clothe themselves and they feed themselves and they bathe themselves and they take care of themselves. Now, another way to help is, you know, getting plugged into a really good church. And I like this verse. I want to look at a few verses here. Look at this verse 17. But as God hath distributed every man, as the Lord hath called every one, so let him walk, and so ordain I in all the churches. Is any man being called circumcised? Let him not become uncircumcised. Is any called in uncircumcision? Let him not be circumcised. Circumcision is nothing, and uncircumcision is nothing, but the keeping of the commandments of God. Let every man abide in the same calling wherein he was called. Art thou called being a servant? Care not for it, but if thou mayest be made free, use it rather. Now, Here's what I would say. There are some people who are in an area or a position of their life where they cannot go to a really great church. You know, maybe they live in an area where there's not a very good option, or their best option is just unsatisfactory to them or whatever. Or maybe the church they're going to is not great on soul winning, or, you know, is pre-trib or something, or has some kind of issues. Look, you can still get involved in that church. You can still go, and if that's where God has you at that moment, you know what? Just serve in that area of your life. You know, Joseph had to serve in the prison for a while. Do you think that there was a great church down there in the prison? Think there was some new IFB movement going on down in the prison for Joseph? Or did he just have to serve at that time in his life there? Okay. And look, no one's living in that type of situation. But here's the thing. If you're free, use it rather. So here's the thing. If I have the opportunity, if it's easy for me to move and go to a better church, why not? Right? And you know, one of the greatest ways to get involved is just to go to the best church you possibly can. You know, you only live one time in your life. Why would you not want to go to the best church in your area, or if you have the possibility to go to an area where there's an even better church where you can get plugged in even more and do even more for God? Why not? Look, if I'm going to have one life to live, I might as well do as much as I possibly can. You know, if I have the decision, well, I can stay here and serve with John the Baptist. Oh, Jesus Christ walked by. Bye. Now I'm going to start serving with Jesus, right? Why would I not want to then be a follower of Jesus Christ? But what if I just physically can't? What if there was some reason I couldn't, which there's not a good reason, but I'm just saying, then you just serve with John the Baptist until he dies. And then you're thinking like, I should have gone with that Jesus guy. And then he dies and you're like, uh-oh. Then you're with the apostles and then they start dying and you're like, I wonder what my fate is. But at the end of the day, you know what? How can I get involved in church? Well, show up and get into the best church that you possibly can. And here's, go to, you would to 1 Timothy chapter 5. Here's my second point. Once you've taken care of yourself, and maybe you're lacking one of those areas, that's your step one. You want to get involved? Start working on yourself. But number two is your family. And here's kind of a bridge comment. For you singles, okay, you may not have to worry about other people because you don't have like a wife or kids or anything like that tying you down. But here's what you could do. Be more desirable so you can enter into this stage. Say, how can I get involved in church? Be a more desirable person. Because you know what? When all the singles are weird and awkward and goofy and lazy, it's just like people don't want to come back. You know, if the only pretty girl comes and every guy ignores her, or they're super awkward, or they're like, you know, just weird looking and smell weird and look weird. Hey, why don't you actually dress nice and carry yourself and have a good job and be desirable? You know what? That's going to make our church more attractive. And it's funny because my wife always liked this one business. I don't even know if they could do it anymore. But there was this business. It was called like the Water Still. And it's in Amarillo. And the only people that they would hire are like really attractive, fit and muscular young guys. That's the only thing that they would hire. And they had certain requirements because you had to lift at least 50 pounds and you had to do, you know, because they were carrying big jugs of water and whatever. But you know what? That business model worked. Because guess where every young pretty girl wanted to go? Get tea. The Water Still. Why? Because all the guys there. And look, if our church is full of West Coast, effeminate, queer-looking dudes, you know what? Women aren't going to want to come and shop for a husband at Steadfast Baptist Church. But you know what? If all the men are well-groomed, and they're manly, and they love the Lord, and they have a good job, and they're, you know, just at top-notch scale, you know what? It's going to be really attractive. You say, where are all the women? Well, why do you keep scaring them off? Maybe that's the question you should be asking yourself. Or why don't you go out and find one and bring her in? If you're such a stud, if you're such a, you know, great-looking guy, you know, be more desirable, and then you can enter into stage two, family, okay? First Timothy chapter 5, look at verse 8. That was mostly for the dudes, all right? Verse 8, therefore let us, I'm sorry, I'm in 1 Corinthians. 1 Timothy chapter 5, look at verse 8. But if any provide not for his own, especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel, is what the Bible says. Now, here's the thing. Provide for yourself, but you also have to provide for your family. Hey, I want to get involved in church. Okay, how about you start providing for your family then? How about you start providing for your wife and your kids? That's a great way to start getting involved. Okay? And if you're not providing for your family, you're worse than an unbeliever. There's nothing worse that I think God could compare me to. There's someone just unsaved. You have to and need to start taking care of your family. You know, be the best father, be the best mother, be the best child that you possibly can be. Look at verse 14. I will therefore the younger women marry, bear children, guide the house, give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully. You say, how can I as a young lady, how can I as a mother get involved in church? You know you can get involved in church. You can marry. You can bear children. A lot of women are doing good on that one. Have you seen our expecting list? And obviously you can't control that necessarily. But it says guide the house. Give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully. You know what makes a church bad? When women are not doing this. You want to get involved in our church? Make our church look like this. Do this to the best of your ability. Don't give the enemy a reason to blaspheme or to attack our church or going around causing problems, gossiping and going around causing issues and forming cliques and forming these factions and talking bad about other women and abusing other women. Look, churches can be ruined by the women. There's churches where you go and it's just a gossip fest and they talk bad about everyone. They try to run off pastors and leadership, which praise the Lord, our leadership structure is not like that. But go over to Proverbs 13. If you try to run us off, it'll be bad news for you. But, you know, there's some churches where it's a deacon-led church or whatever, and look, women will just run a gossip circle about the deacons or the pastors and whatever and run them off. Look, I want to get involved in church. Okay, well, start doing these steps. Be the best person you can for yourself, then make sure your family's in order, okay? And you say, well, why do I do that? Well, the Bible talks about if a pastor wants to, you know, be qualified, he has to know how to rule his own house. That's like step one. And you say, well, that's a pastor. No, that's the example for every man, is to know how to rule his own house. It's silly how people come to me and they want to get more involved in church. They want to take a position of leadership in church, yet they don't know how to rule their own house. Uh-oh, there's a problem there. You need to first take care of things at home and get things at home in order before you're going to start leading others and helping others. Proverbs chapter 13, look at verse 24. He that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. You know, if you don't spank or discipline your children, you hate them. And look, this doesn't say love taps. This doesn't say, you know, look, do not reward bad behavior. If your children are misbehaving or doing bad, you need to discipline them. That's one of the best ways to get involved in church. Look, our church is a family-integrated church. And some people don't like that. I love it. I'm just saying, some people come in and they're like, oh, a kid screamed once, you know, or whatever. But if every kid's just screaming and no parent ever disciplines their kids or ever corrals them or ever helps them figure it out, you know, that's going to be a bad rapport. That's going to be a bad reputation. That's going to drive people away from not only our church, but even having lots of kids, potentially. They walk in, they see all these kids well-behaved and doing well. You know, I have, honestly, it's sad. Go to Hebrews chapter 12. It's sad. I literally have people complain about other people's kids to me every single week. And it's funny because then you preach on it once in a blue moon and everybody's like, you're talking about me. It's because it is everyone. Look, people are constantly frustrated because kids are misbehaving, running around, not doing right, and their parents are oblivious, the parents don't care, they're apathetic. And let me tell you what, if you are not paying attention to your kids, if you're not disciplining your kids, you hate your kids. You say, oh, I don't like that. God said it. If you are not disciplining your children appropriately, it's because you hate them. And not only do you hate your kids, you hate yourself. Look at Hebrews chapter 12, verse 9. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us, notice this, after their own pleasure. Did you know that disciplining your children makes your life better? It makes your life easier? Not disciplining your children will ruin your life. It will destroy your life. You'll have no peace of mind. You'll be frustrated every day. You'll resent your children. Your children will resent you. And then when they grow up and they're the little monsters that they continue to stay being, you know what? It's going to cause you even more grief in the future. Discipline your children. Get your children. Hey, I want to help in the church, Pastor Shelley. Okay, your kid's over there running. Your kid's over there screaming. You're never even paying attention to little Johnny. You're never little paying attention to little Susie. You don't even know what they're doing. Look, you want to get involved in church, take care of your family.
So this is intense. Sorry. Go to Ephesians chapter number 5.
The Bible's intense. And you say, why preach a sermon? Because I want you to get involved. Look, I'm not preaching these things because I want to be mad at people. What I want is for you to get better involved. People, I think, sincerely want to get involved, and I'm trying to help you answer this question. Well, what does that look like? Take care of yourself. Start being fully sufficient of yourself, and then be sufficient of, hey, your family, taking care of those people in your life. Ephesians chapter 5, look at verse 25. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So I mean to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body. Notice that he brings up that body again that we talked about at the very beginning, 1 Corinthians chapter number 12. We're bodies. You know, we're the body of Christ. We're the members of Christ. And in a marriage, you're also in this relationship where you both are one body now. And you shouldn't hate your own flesh. And really, you know, you want to get involved in church, well, have a good marriage. Have a good marriage. You know, having a bad marriage will destroy a lot of people in church. Go over to Romans chapter 16. If you want to say, what's one of the most common denominators when it comes to people stopping to serve God, not getting in church, you know, not going soul winning, not doing things, it's always like a marriage-related issue, it feels like. Marriage-related issues will destroy people spiritually. And if you really want to get involved in church, you know, if you've entered into that union, you need to take care of your spouse and love your spouse and do good unto your spouse. The Bible says, husbands, love your wives. You know, it's frustrating how men love everything but their wife, it seems like. They love their job. They love their hobbies. They might even in their mind love church, but they're not really loving their wife. And I'm thinking, like, you know, if you really want to get involved in church, start loving your wife more. Start encouraging her to do good things. And, you know, here's one. How about let your wife go soul winning? Or take your wife out soul winning. Encourage your wife to go soul winning. You know, it's not just for the pastor's wife to go soul winning. All of us are supposed to go soul winning. And, you know, if your husband's taking out soul winning or trying to encourage you to go soul winning, it's because he loves you. And the reality is, if you can't get your wife out soul winning, if you can't take your family out soul winning, why would you think that you're going to start helping other people? Look, first help yourself, then help your family, and then you can help your church family. Help yourself, help your family, then you can start helping your church family. Look at Romans chapter 16, look at verse 1. I commend unto you Phoebe, your sister, which is the servant of the church, which is at Chenchrea. You receive her in the Lord as become as saints, and that ye assist her and whatsoever business she hath need of you. For she hath been a succor of many, and of myself also. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus, who have for my life laid down their own necks, unto whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. So we see a huge admonition in the Bible to help one another, to love one another, to look not only our own things, but the things of others, right? And to humble ourselves and see mother better than ourselves. But here's the reality. You still kind of have to help yourself and your family before you can really start effectively helping other people. Now, this is a great goal. This is a great vision to have. This is a great plan. But you know what? How you get here is you got to prepare by fixing this verse and then this one and then getting to this one. And I'll tell you this, the people that seem to do the most are already doing so much. The people that seem to do the most are already doing so much. They're already just like knocking it out of the park here. They're already knocking it out of the park here. And then they just somehow knock it out of the park on that one too. And you're just like, wow. And the people that are not doing good here, they're often not doing good here and here either. They're just not doing good in any of the areas. It's a stair-stepping process. And it's important to realize how you can help others. What's some practical examples? And I only have a few more verses this morning, but I'm just going to get real practical with you, okay? And look, this applies to any church. Not just mine. It applies to every church that you can possibly go to. Go to the soul-winning times. Go to the fellowships. You know, cleaning up. And look, cleaning up doesn't have to be an official thing. How about just clean your area? Just clean up after yourself. So much crumbs and trash and just filth. People just leave everywhere. I mean, there's just like water bottles everywhere and trash everywhere and your kid's little bracelet and your, you know, their little dinosaur and their little, you know, 18 water bottles. And it's like, what's happening? Did you camp here last night? Look, clean up after yourself and, you know, clean up other areas potentially. You know, if you see something that's obviously trash, take care of it. You know, maybe get involved by using a musical instrument. You know, I like singing that song, praise him with the trumpet. You know, how about the psaltery and the harp? And we got the string instrument, but, you know, sometimes we need backups. We need other people, you know, a violin, the organ. Hey, these are instruments in the Bible. That would be great. Hey, I hope our music program gets better. But you know what? Don't come up to me and say, hey, Pastor Shelley, I'm ready to play the violin. Do you own one? No. Do you got one I can borrow? Have you ever played it? Never. But I'm ready. It's like, that's not how you get involved. You know, I actually have a good story of this, but whenever I first came to Steadfast Baptist Church, Kevin Edelman, his daughter, Abigail, she came up to me. It was like one of the first services. It may have been even the first service. She came up to me, and real respectfully, she waited for my time, and then when she came up to me, she handed me a couple pieces of paper stapled together, and she said, here's every single song that I know how to play, and I'm willing to play whenever you want me to. You want to talk about someone that already knows this sermon? I was thinking like, wow, this is exactly what I like. This is exactly what I want. She wasn't even saying like, put me in, coach. She just said like, I'm expected to play these times. She's just like, whenever you want, here's my list, here's my paper, I'm ready to go. And you know what? That's a great way to get involved in something. You know, you go to your boss, you go to anywhere, you say, hey, I want to do this. You already have things prepared. You're already ready. You're presenting a solution, not more work. Hey, I want to get involved. Well, what skills do you have? None. When are you free? Never. Okay. How about start getting free time? That's step one. Get free time. Get some skills. Then come talk to me. Then present to me an idea of how you can get involved. You know, you could usher. Here's one. You could just be friendly. How can I get involved, Pastor Shelley? Be friendly. Talk to visitors. Take them to lunch. Invite them over. Minister to other people. You know, I can't minister to every single person. I can't invite everybody to lunch. I can't shake everyone's hand necessarily. I can't do all of those things. So you doing it actually helps us in church. How about meal trains? That's a great way to get involved. You know, sometimes it's hard to find anybody that wants to do a meal train. You want to get involved? That's a great way to get involved. You know, donating money. The preaching class. You want to preach at our church? Come to the preaching class. In fact, I decide who I want to preach for me based on how well they do in the preaching class. Because if you can't preach a good 5-minute sermon, why would I want you to preach for longer? Some people, I'm ready to pull the plug after 30 seconds. I'm just kidding. Sometimes. Events, show up to the events. You know, there's all kinds of things that you can do that are already there on the surface. Why don't you start doing all the on-the-surface stuff, and then you can get to the next layer. Go to Hebrews chapter 13, Hebrews chapter 13. And I want to finish on this last point. So you can help yourself. You can get involved by helping your family. You can get involved by helping your church family. And then number four, you can help the leadership.
And let's read this verse, and then I'll explain a little bit in here, and I'll get real specific. Hebrews chapter 13, look at verse number 16. The Bible says, "But to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you." The Bible says you're supposed to obey them that have the rule over you, and if you want to help leadership in the church, you know, one of the best things you can do is just do what they said. It's funny how, you know, when I'm talking about all these three points, these are things that I've already preached. And then people don't want to do these, and then they ask me how they can get involved. And I'm thinking, like, do these. Do what I already said. Start employing all the tactics that you've already been given. And then can you help the leadership in other ways? You know, and before, like, just think about in any area of your life, before you ask for more work, finish the work you've been given to do. Imagine your kids coming to you, "Dad, I want to do more work." "Well, did you clean your room?" "No." "Did you do homework?" "Nope." "Did you clean up the table?" "Nope." "Did you take a shower?" "Nope, but I'm ready for more." And it's like, no, you're not. Do what I already told you. Okay? And here's the thing. If you want to get involved in your church, why don't you start knocking out number one, two, and three before you really start coming to the leadership and offering yourself to do more? Why don't you already do what you have on your plate? It just makes perfect sense. And look, I need more help. Leadership needs more help. But you know what kind of help we need? We need the help that's already knocked out one, two, and three. We don't need more help that says, "I don't even have a place to lay my head. I don't have any food. I don't have any clothes, but I'm here to help." It's like, whoa, you need to start at step one again, okay? And the people that do the best help, I'm telling you, they're knocking these top three out. They're doing it. And, you know, if you want to help someone, let it be known what you can do and be ready when the time comes. You know, sometimes you can be planned and prepared and ready, but the timing's not right. And so you can let it be known, "Hey, I'm ready to serve in this way, but the timing's not right," so then you just have to wait. You know what? I'm fine with that. There's plenty of people that have come to me and expressed an interest in serving or helping or doing things, and I can't use them right then, but I think about it, have it back in my memory, and then the next time the opportunity comes, then I can use that person. Most of the time I think about it, I'm thinking, like, I'm never going to use that person. You need to start fixing yourself. You need to start doing that before you're going to get used in another way, okay? Now, why would I preach a sermon like this? Well, go to Nehemiah chapter 2. Go to Nehemiah chapter 2. You know, Jesus said that he was going to do great works, but his disciples would do greater. And when it talked about Jesus baptizing, it said he didn't baptize anyone. His disciples baptized. And here's the reality. Good leadership empowers the people that he's leading to do more. Think about David and his mighty men. You know, David couldn't accomplish all the things he did by himself. He needed the mighty men to accomplish it with him. And the reality is, a church is not one member. It's a body of members today. You know, it doesn't matter. Hey, I've got the greatest elbow in the world, but the rest of my body is decrepit. You know, the rest of my body, I can't even use. That's not going to be very beneficial. You need all the body functioning very healthy and working together and doing great. And look, I want our church to be the best church it possibly can be. Be the best body for Christ that we can possibly be. We need every member to be healthy. And I want to empower people to serve God together. But at the end of the day, you have to fix, you know, yourself, and you have to address a lot of these other issues before you can be used in new ways and other ways. And maybe even your mind better ways. But some people, you know, and some people, this is basically where your life is. Your only existence is one, two, and three. You don't even have to get to number four. Don't think that you have to get to number four, because number four may not be your goal in life. It may not be your plan in life. You may just be here to minister to other people in the church, not to the leadership specifically. Okay, and the way that you actually out, you are still helping me by doing this. Don't hear me wrong. What I am saying is not in a very specific way. Okay, look at Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 17. The Bible says, "Then said I unto them, You see the distress that we are in, how Jerusalem lieth waste, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. Come, and let us build up the wall of Jerusalem, that we be no more approach. Then I told them of the hand of my God, which was good upon me,
as also the king's words that he has spoken unto me. And they said, let us rise up and build. So they strengthened their hands for this good work. Notice Nehemiah, when he comes into town, he doesn't say, I'm here, now I'm going to build everything. No, he inspires everyone else to build with him. And when I look at the church and I look at the world today, I feel like it's been destroyed. Godliness in America has been destroyed. The church has been destroyed. God's people have been destroyed for a lack of knowledge. And you know what? We are in a phase, we are in a period where we need to be building. We need to be building, and we need to be building ourselves and building our families and building our church families, and then we can help the leadership to build a great Jerusalem, to build a great church. And let me tell you something, the gates of hell are attacking the church today in every area of life. They are attacking your personal finances. They are attacking your mental stability. They are attacking your emotions. They are attacking your family members. They are attacking your marriage. They are attacking everything. They're attacking soul winning. They're attacking the Bible. They're attacking Bible preaching. They're attacking godliness. Hey, it's a full-scale war today. It is a full-scale attack today. And if you want to protect yourself, you have to build. You know what? I'm planning on preaching some very practical sermons in the future to try and help God's people to fight against this full-scale attack on you. And you know, the reality is, if you really want to get involved, if you really want to help, you have to employ these tactics. You have to start going to church, reading the Bible, praying, and then you know what? You need to get your family doing it, and then you need to encourage your church family to start doing it, and then you can start getting to the next level. Now, let me tell you some of the cool things that I really want to do. But again, who am I going to be able to use? The people that are employing these tactics, okay? But I want to have a gospel video in as many languages as possible and have this out there. Like, I've built the God Resource site. I've started getting that going, and I have some languages. But see, here's the thing. All of you could come up to me and be like, I'm ready to get plugged in. Well, do you speak any language other than English? No. Well, you're not prepared, right? But then there's some people, I know people, they speak a little bit of Hindi, they speak a little bit of another foreign language, or they speak something, and they have the ability to get to the point where they could help me with that, or they know other people, and they could help me accomplish that. Look, that would be a great thing to do. Have even more gospel presentations and even more languages would be a great goal. You know, I'd like to have it for every language. Can you imagine just walking to the door? No matter what, you can just, hey, here's the gospel. Here's a video. Hey, scan this QR code, and you got, look, QR code surpasses language. You just say phone, and you just scan it for them, and then you just hand it back to them, and then you just pick the language, and they have the gospel. Wouldn't that be great? Hey, I want to make the God Resource site even better, maybe even make it into a mobile application, improve our site, and that takes people with specific skill. If you come to me, I'm ready to build that site. Have you ever used a computer? No. You know, you're not the right person, okay? I need to finish the cover for the Sodomite Deception, which takes some artwork. And look, there's so much work that I have to constantly neglect because I'm just trying to fix other things. But if I had skilled people that can help in some of these areas, or they get skills, or they prepare themselves, I could use them. That would be a great thing. Someone finished the Sodomite Deception cover art for me. You know, all of our websites, someone wants to manage our websites, that would be great because they could be better. And our sermon lists don't always get updated. But that takes someone with skill in those areas. You know, here's another thing. I want to have a podcast, a weekly podcast. And, I've been working on this idea with Brother Ben for a few years. And we've been talking about it, kicking around. But I'm kind of there. But, you know, I want to build a podcast there in the back, which takes physical skilled labor. You know, putting in nice walls, putting in the furniture, putting in the lighting, putting in the cameras, getting that all set up, which just takes effort, time, energy, and things like that. Someone that's skilled in that area could help us get the podcast stuff set up, and then we can start pumping out even more content and trying to reach new people and bringing them in. You know, I want to improve our sound room, you know, put in a custom desk, organize all those shelves, you know, put in maybe some new cameras so that whenever we produce another documentary, we can have it be a 4K documentary, you know, have good camera quality everywhere and produce. Because one of my goals is to produce a King James Bible documentary. That's the next one. And I really want to emphasize the history, and I really want to make a really strong case for why we use the King James Bible and leave all the David Icke stuff out of it, okay? And then also, you know, I want to get our Spanish New Testament. I want to make an economic version of the Spanish New Testament that doesn't have a false gospel in the back of it. I mean, it's like, you know, why do you want to produce your own Bible? Because the only ones I can buy have a false gospel attached to them. It's like, can I please find an economical Spanish Bible without a false gospel attached to it? But you know, a way someone could help me that speaks Spanish is pick it up and look at it and tell me if there's anything stupid. Because if there's something stupid, you know, and they pull it up and they're like, I don't want to read this. You know, that would be a great way to help me, is looking at that, reviewing it, making sure it's good. It's going to reach the Spanish people. How about this? Preach good sermons. Hey, when you get the opportunity to preach, preach a good sermon. That really helps me. You know what doesn't help me? When people preach terrible sermons. False doctrine, heresy, just all these extra issues I have to deal with. You know, and it's just frustrating. How about mission trips? You know, and the thing you can do on missions trips is just be a blessing. Show up and help and be an assistance. Some people, their goal on a missions trip is for me to cater on their personal family vacation. It's like, you know, where's this and where's this? Where's my toothbrush and, you know, where's my goodie bag and where's my sneakers and where's my shirt and, you know, did you pack this for me? And I'm thinking like, no, yourself, your family, your church family, leadership, you know. That's how you help the leadership, is by taking care of all these things. You know, and someone says, oh man, I didn't pack this. And you're like, oh, I got one for you. And I'm thinking like, sweet, I don't have to deal with that. You know what I mean? That's helping the leadership, is by doing these type of things. Other stuff you could do, help with baby showers. You know, we have ladies in our church that help with baby showers. And you may not be the leader. You know, it's either my wife or a couple other ladies that often are planning it. But you know, you could show up early. You could set up, you could help tear down, you could help decorate, you could help do whatever. You know, that's how you help the leadership. You know, show up to the soul winning time. You could help your soul winning time leader make maps. You could help your soul winning time leader, you know, bring material or get water or do anything. You know, if you want to help the leadership, you got to help yourself, you got to help the family, you got to help your church family. And then what? You have to start planning. How can I help? How can I see the leadership in my life and help them? How can I prepare and be ready to help that person? Okay. Then I'm ready to perform. And then I'm even willing to purge and do things better or learn. You know, one of the best qualities somebody can have is the ability to receive correction or improve themselves or do better. You know, I want to do even more soul winning. More soul winning trips. Hey, we want to get all of Fort Worth done. I had a 5-year vision to get all of Fort Worth completely shaded in. And I think we're like in a year and some months or something into it. We've done a decent job. But hey, you can help me by figuring out how to get that whole area shaded in. Hey, we can have more soul winning events and more soul winning times and more people willing to step in and lead and more work to be done. Because obviously we're talking about a lot of good works, but the most important work is soul winning. Getting the gospel out to everyone. And look, I went over a lot of information this morning. A lot of stuff. Maybe you go back and review it. But there are so many ways to get involved in church. And one of the things that will frustrate leadership, and this is not just me, this is anybody, but they'll frustrate leadership is when someone just asks this question. You know, hey, I want to get involved. What can I do? And then you say, well, what can you do? I don't know. I'm not prepared. I'm not planned. I can't do anything. And look, sometimes you just genuinely don't know. You're just like, hey, I'm here to help fix anything or do anything. Do you want me to move anything? You know, and then it's easier to use people. But the best way to present yourself is to say, hey, I've noticed this could be done. Do you want me to help with that? You don't even need to show up at church. Hey, do you want me to set chairs out? Do you want me to get water out? Do you want me to do these things? Rather than just always like, how can I help? You know, go to your boss. What can I do? And it's just like, look around. One of the most frustrated things I've ever had in my life is I was working on a construction project, and I was working with someone close to me, and it was just like, you walk in, it's just an obvious wreck. You know, there's all this work that needs to be done. It's just super obvious. It's right there to be seen. And they're just like, hey, what do I do? And I'm just thinking like, open your eyes. You know, like, grab a hammer, start doing, I mean, do something. You know, don't have to be spoon-fed and told everything that you have to do. Actually plan, then prepare, then perform, and then purge. Let's close in prayer. Thank you, Father, so much for your word. Thank you for letting us be a part of the body of Christ, having such a great and important task of being a part of your body and being ambassador of Christ. I pray that we take our job seriously today. And I pray that as we go out and we do our work today, that we would think about all the plans and the preparations that go into it, that you'd help us when we perform those operations, and that you would help us also purge ourselves from unnecessary things, that we would be willing to constantly adapt and evolve and get better and improve ourselves. And I pray that our church could do great works for you. We know all the works that we do is for the honor and glory of Jesus Christ, and I pray that we get that deep down in our hearts so that we could be a good representative. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
All right, for the final song we're going to sing song number 47, Let the Sun Shine Again in My Heart. That is song number 47. 47, Let the Sun Shine Again in My Heart. I remember the time when I first knew the Savior, when the sunlight of blessing so flooded my heart. Oh, the sweetness of first love with Jesus so near me, and I thought such devotion would never depart. Let the sun shine again, let the flowers bloom again, stir the embers of love in my heart. Holy Spirit, reprove, then embrace me again, let the sun shine again in my heart. Then how sweet were the scriptures they spoke to me daily, how they guided my steps, but my zeal did not last. And the sweet place of prayer where I met with my Savior, I neglected, and so soon my joys were all past. Let the sun shine again, let the flowers bloom again, stir the embers of love in my heart. Holy Spirit, reprove, then embrace me again, let the sun shine again in my heart. Oh, I love well to walk in the way with God's children, when we met with glad heart in a fellowship sweet. But the pull of the flesh and some worldly companions in the paths of sin's pleasure attracted my feet. Let the sun shine again, let the flowers bloom again, stir the embers of love in my heart. Holy Spirit, reprove, then embrace me again, let the sun shine again in my heart. Lord, I come now again for forgiveness and blessings, as thy penitent child, I am seeking thy peace. For the blood paid my debt, and thy Spirit within me bids me come to my Father, my wandering to cease. Let the sun shine again, let the flowers bloom again, stir the embers of love in my heart. Holy Spirit, reprove, then embrace me again, let the sun shine again in my heart. Amen. You're dismissed.